Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. When you watch the news summaries of what is happening around the world simultaneously, are you amazed? What really astounds me when I watch global reports is considering the fact that God is watching all of it happen in real time, and at the same time, God knows the future of each of those newsworthy events and every person involved in each. In the past few days, in Acts chapter 9, we've been looking closely at the radical transformation of angry Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus being transformed into a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. As I left you yesterday, we were watching Saul sail away from the coastal city of Caesarea, heading to his hometown of Tarsus. Saul was in desperate need of some extended time and a safe place to think, pray, and seek to understand from God what had happened to him in Damascus, Syria, and Jerusalem. With the next verse, Dr. Luke wants us to understand many other things of significance were happening with the apostles of Jesus, and Luke invites us to focus now on Peter's adventures. Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to 35 tells us, Peter had been traveling around visiting in other towns some of the Jesus followers who had believed Peter's Pentecost Day message. They had trusted Jesus and had been baptized, but then had been caught in the persecution which followed Stephen's execution, and they had fled Jerusalem. As Peter had been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring healing to a cripple at the temple gate Beautiful, recorded in Acts chapter 3, so in Acts chapter 9, verse 34, Peter does the same thing with a crippled man in the town of Lydda. Naturally, word spread about this miracle, and many people trusted in Jesus as they had in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 introduces us to another coastal town of Joppa, about 64 kilometers south of Caesarea, and another woman in need of God's help. Her name was Tabitha. Dorcas was her Greek name, and she was a much-loved follower of Jesus. She's described as always doing good and helping the poor. Statements like that cause me to pause and consider what my reputation is with people. And what about you, my friends? When people use only a few words to describe you or me, what do they say? Tabitha fell sick and died. The record says Lydda was near Joppa. So when the followers of Jesus heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once, Acts 9, verse 38. I wonder if Peter immediately was reminded of a time when Jesus was urged to come quickly because his friend Lazarus was very ill. Remember that story in John chapter 11? In Peter's case, it appears he wasted no time in going with these messengers. And as they hurried along the road, I'm sure Peter was praying, asking God what God wanted to do with Peter's involvement in this situation. Pause. Have you learned the importance of praying when you are asked for help? Have you learned God knows far more about the situation than you do, and God is ready to lead you to say and do the right things as you respond to a request for help? Have we learned the danger of not inquiring of God and simply rushing in to try and help with our limited wisdom and resources? As Peter arrived, he found a scene so similar to what Jesus and his disciples had found when they arrived in Bethany, remember, according to John chapter 11. Tabitha was dead, and mourners had gathered, grieving their loss, for she was dearly loved. They took Peter to the room where Tabitha's body was being prepared for burial, and Peter asked to be alone. All Peter could do was pray. We don't know what Peter prayed, but we do know he was led by the Holy Spirit to speak to Tabitha's dead body, inviting her to get up. Suddenly, her eyes opened, and she sat up, fully alive. The record says, Peter called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented Tabitha to them alive. Acts chapter 9, verse 40 and 41. Now, put yourself in this scene, my friends, and as you watch the jubilation, the euphoria, how do you explain what just happened? Dr. Luke, who wrote this record, was not present as an eyewitness, but we are safe to assume, as he writes in Luke chapter 1, verse 3, that he carefully investigated. As a medical doctor, can you imagine the questions Dr. Luke asked to be sure he understood accurately what happened in both these miracles in Lydda and Joppa. Doctors do not take medical miracles lightly, do we? Luke tells us this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord Jesus. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon, according to Acts chapter 9, verse 42 and 43. Now, why would Luke tell us this interesting detail of who offered Peter lodging for a while and what Simon's job was? May I give you three thoughts? First, by Peter staying in Joppa for a while, can you imagine the vast number of people he now had opportunity to tell about Jesus? He must have been busy from early morning to late at night telling the stories of his time and his relationship with Jesus and all he had learned from Jesus. Second, this tanner had the same name as Peter, Simon. Remember, that was Peter's given name. Peter was a nickname Jesus had given Simon, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 42. I have no doubt the two Simons stayed up late into the night, every night, talking about Jesus and the dramatic difference Peter was now as compared to the Simon he once had been. Third, God needed Peter to be there in Joppa and ready for his next Holy Spirit assignment. Messengers would be coming soon looking for him, and Peter both needed to be located and ready for what those messengers were going to lead Peter into. Tomorrow, we'll look at that because it's world-changing. For today, let's take some time to reflect. Why does God have you right where you are now? What is God wanting you to learn as God prepares you for what he has as a next opportunity for you? Peter made good use of his time in Joppa. Are you and I making good use of our time preparing for what only God knows is next?